500 monkeys chipping towards algorithm. Today was a little talk about social media. Mainly came from I was looking at Derek Braze's latest post to do with is social media enough, and it just triggered some thoughts I had on it. So go and check out his post about that at Derek Braze. But yeah, I've been clean, as I like to say, because it is like an addiction. But Facebook being the prime and worst one, I'd say, for about 7-8 years. And I actually left for a number of reasons. Firstly, I watched a documentary. I've tried to find it since, but it's disappeared now, as all the good ones tend to do. But it was basically a guy who he sent a letter to Facebook under the, what's it called? Under the Data Protection Act, but it's where you can claim your own data. And he got sent back 13 DVDs worth of stuff that Facebook had accumulated on him over a year. And it was everything from photos, comments, things he'd liked, people he'd liked, what they did, who they liked, just all the links and the algorithms, as you can imagine. And yeah, basically collected all this data on him. And I know people say the line of, oh, well, I've got nothing to hide. But when somebody has that much information on you, regardless if it's good or bad, it's building a picture, which is, you know, gets towards the minority report, really, kind of stuff. And it is extremely worrying, I think. So I jumped in quite quickly there. But, I mean, so the problems with social media is not only the data they hold, which I think is a massive, massive problem. You know, people just willingly putting all this data on. And like I spoke in the last Jibcast about people not actually reading the some small print. A lot of those images you put on Facebook and Instagram, and, you know, they don't belong to you anymore. They belong to those companies, or that company, because it's all owned by Facebook now, I think, isn't it? So it's basically giving away your life to somebody. But I mean, people may be accepting of that. But the other thing is the problems it is causing in society. Anxiety, massive increases in anxiety since we've had social media, and this is due to people putting, no, it's like people after those likes, aren't they? We need likes, you know. And I haven't had it for years, but people like constantly looking at their feeds to see who's liked stuff, who, you know, whether they've got likes on theirs. And it's a form of acceptance, which just fuels people's insecurities, really, and causes anxiety. Scientists now are saying there's a, I can't remember what it's called, but where people are thinking they feel their phone vibrate, you know, because obviously they're tuning and they're wanting this kind of feedback and this fix. And it is like a drug. It's this fix of, oh, I'm wanted, I'm liked, you know, I've got attention. And it's a massive issue, and it's so sad to see, because while it's been bad weather, I've not been cycling into work, I've been getting the bus, and you just see the school kids going to school and they just sit on their phone next to each other playing. And I just observe it. And, you know, I remember, well, we didn't have mobile phones then, but I remember going to school on the bus, and we talked, we jumped around, interacted, and yeah, we pissed off the driver a bit, and he had to stop, and, you know, maybe it wasn't the safest thing, but, you know, we were interacting, we were communicating, and, you know, interacting with the world around us. And the fact that people are on social media and their phones constantly, it's taking them out of the real world and bringing them into this virtual world. You know, it's debates around that, isn't there? But it's just desocialization, and it's stopping people kind of interacting with the world around them. And I think, I mean, there's massive problems with it now, but in the future, it's gonna destroy society. I mean, it already has to an extent, but when the younger generations come through, because, I mean, my generation, you know, we were kind of there for the development of computers, so, you know, did experience the world before we had all this social media. And they were, well, to an extent, it was a better place, for the social media sense of it. Yeah, I mean, it's positives and negatives either way, but it's, I mean, it's a state that, you know, Facebook are doing experiments where you know, trying to manipulate people's posts through algorithms to see if they can make them depressed. And this is, you know, it's out there. It's commonly talked about in the papers even. So, you know, the papers are talking about, God knows what they're actually really doing. You know, it's very worrying. And like I say, you know, I've not been on it for 7 or 8 years. I think more recently than I had a Twitter account. But I actually got banned from that for voicing my opinions to Mrs. May. I was very polite, you know. But yeah, I said what you weren't allowed to say. So, you know, got kicked off that. And it wasn't really that bothered because I was only using it to post some of the different blog I had. Got arseholes on there kind of arguing points about nothing just because they could, and they had no face on social media. And it's like, you know, you can be this alter ego thing you want to be, which again, you know, isn't a good thing. It fuels this kind of inner sense of not accepting who we are. And I think this is a big problem in society as well. In fact, you know, you can't move more spiritually, and you can't emanate good things around you unless you accept who you are. You need to be yourself. And through social media, people were posting pictures of their ego self and, you know, how wonderful their life is. And half the time, it's bull, really. You know, people post the best parts of their life, and everyone judging, saying, "Aren't they all wonderful?" You know, "Aren't they?" You know, and it's all fake. It's this fake, contentious rubbish, really. And then obviously you get the kind of somebody, look, they've got this, we better do this, and then they post it. And it's disruptive to society. Creates massive divisions for, you know, what you should have, and people get all this fake rubbish because everyone else has got it. And then, you know, the people who make the fake rubbish and advertise it get a killing in cash, and they're all happy. And where it does serve a purpose, to be connected, I guess that would be the main argument, you know, to be connected. But then it's only because everyone uses that as there. I mean, you still find out what's going on, you know, and people are just too lazy and content with just using one platform. And again, this becomes a danger of it because you're only using one source, and then people come reliant on it. And it's like I've said previously about papers, you know, you read one paper, you're getting a very limited source of what's happening, which is dangerous because that can then be manipulated to control you very, very easily, which is what Facebook does. It's a controlling mechanism for the masses, really. They know they've got a captive audience, and people are going to see, let's share this. We shared around millions and millions of people within seconds, and there you go, boom. And even if people don't believe it, if people think it's a joke or not real, they've still seen it and viewed it, and their brains absorb that information. And I think this is the key point there. Even though a lot of people just look at things, go, that's crap, the seed's planted. And I mean, admittedly, that can be with anything, but, you know, with Facebook and it being there and so many people looking at it and it getting spread so quickly, it's you know, a very, very powerful tool that the state has. And as much as they say it's a private company, I mean, Zuckerberg, he's in the clasps of the statist. That's kind of my opinions, really. But I mean, what's the alternative? I mean, this what got me thinking about this was Steam It, because in my first posts I wrote about how I'd blogged before and been on social media and left it for the reasons I've just pointed out. And it draws people away from each other. You know, people used to meet up and go and have conversations, not type a message while you're cooking at dinner or, you know, chatting to somebody else. And we're losing social contact, which on a number of levels, you know, I mean, obviously there's the, we're a social animal, and losing social contact affects your human psyche, which brings again anxiety problems and, you know, lack of inclusion. But also on another scale, it breaks down recognition of human consciousness. Because when we're actually talking to somebody face to face and having that interaction, it creates those feelings and of connection with the person we're talking to. You can't get that through a screen. It's when you look somebody in the eyes and, you know, you feel that energy and you can really, really relate to them. And of course, this is when ideas are created, because, you know, you're kind of there in a moment with a text or a message on a page. You know, it's not a flowing conversation, and you don't spur on ideas and inspiration. So it breaks down kind of society. So that, you know, breaks down the human consciousness. And with building, you know, people interacting socially and building human consciousness, that's how we gain power as a species, you know, how we can communicate and make change in this world. And I think, well, it's obviously they know that very well. And, you know, it comes this all divide and conquer. But, you know, why do you need to divide and conquer if you've got everybody under a trance and just sat in their rooms, not doing anything, not getting together? And this was kind of what Derek Prose is supposed to saying a bit. You know, people think by, you know, sitting there saying, oh, you know, let's change the world together on a post, and yeah, that isn't going to do anything. People need to get out there and actually do something, you know. And years ago, I joined the Green Party. Well, it was a transition towns, and it's kind of connected to the Green Party, you know. And it was just constant talks about how are you going to do something, and having a meeting to arrange a meeting. And I left after a few months because it wasn't going anywhere. It's like, you know, these message boards, you know, and, oh, let's do this, let's do this. And, you know, we need action, not, you know, not talking about action. We need to do it. We need to make change. And that isn't going to happen by sitting, typing messages to somebody on a screen. This is part of where this conversation is actually going about Steemit. I do find that I go through phases where I become quite addicted to it. Maybe it's partly my OCD, but I feel I have to read it. And you become fixated on catching up with other people's stories. And I think it's something you need to dip into. You know, and it's like sitting down and, you know, going for a walk, doing, like I was talking before about, doing your practices to help you relax and de-stress. Like, you know, for me, barefoot walking over a fire, which is essential to anyone, but you just need to find your own niche. But, you know, things like sitting down, reading a magazine, reading a book, you know, drumming on your drum. And it's all these connecting things with ourselves, you know, and understanding ourselves and how we flow and what's good for us. And if you're constantly attached to a screen, having the flicker, and, you know, it's not good for you, and it's overstimulating for our brain, which causes problems, and it actually lowers our concentration levels. And its theories are based because of the light, the artificial light, it doesn't allow, because we're so stimulated from the screen refresh rate, the frames per second, it overstimulates our brain, obviously seeing stuff moving constantly. It's the same with television, I suppose, but the computers and the screen like that are have more of an effect. It actually sends us into basically a form of kind of prolonged, it's a bit like jet lag, I suppose, where we feel lethargic. And, you know, and you see a lot of people get tired and then, oh, I can't sleep, you know. And this is because of they're constantly looking at a screen, you know, constantly kind of having this overstimulation. And, you know, you're not getting that when you're reading a book, you know. You're using your mind. Your mind's like you're pitching a story in your head, or, you know, and this is something we've lost. So, I mean, it's not only kind of losing interaction with people, other people, and like social networking. It's affecting our brain and how we function. This is partly why I'm doing this Jibcast, because I've come to a realization that most evenings now, I'm kind of coming in from work and having a quick look on Steam, and then before you know it, the hours are gone. To me, I'm recognizing I need to draw back from that. And, you know, and this is partly why I originally deciding to do this Jibcast, because, you know, I can have the computer off and not write and not stare at a computer, and I can just, you know, still add to the community in a way without having to have that stimulation of the screen, which I think is extremely important. Yeah, because, I mean, people are, it's making people ill, and we're going to come to a state where we're all kind of nervous, bumbling wrecks. Yeah, social crediting comes in, you know, that's a whole different kettle of fish. But I think people need to, I mean, more and more people are leaving, who I know, a lot of people say, I should leave, really. And, you know, I guess the decentralized versions are better, you know, like Steemit and there's Mines and stuff. And I just wouldn't get into those because I do have an addictive personality and I know I'd just get sapped into them. I mean, with Steem, there's a lot of very interesting stuff I read on there. And to be honest, more recently, I just listen to podcasts and the videos because I'm trying not to sit looking at a screen because looking at a screen at work, and I just feel it's affecting me. Because we're not designed to look at screens. We're designed to look at nature and natural things. You know, it's damaging to our eyes, and you know that repetitive flickering, and you know, and you do notice. I mean, I remember when I was studying for my degree, I was literally spending whole days in front of the computer screen. You'd come off the screen and you do feel it is like jet lag, and you just feel like you can't engage. You know, if you get that feeling when you're not on a computer, but then you're looking at a computer and you're going on a social network and you're not getting all this response and this reaction, it feeds into your psyche that, you know, you get, and when you're kind of not on it, you're not getting this feedback of recognition, and you know, you're feeling like you can't engage. It's a detrimental effect. And like I say, it's like coming off it, I mean, well, it was a while since I did, but it's a good 7 days before you start feeling normal. And it is like a drug addiction, you know, coming off drugs. You know, it's you do feel you can't manage it. And, you know, I do have some experience, but you feel like, you know, you just can't break that cycle. But once you break it, it's, you know, you feel so much better, and you realise you don't need it in your life. And I think probably my only complaint would be with it, I don't want to say regret, because I don't regret it, but you do lose out on information, I suppose, of what's happening and sites, because a lot of people are just putting information on their Facebook. So you do, I mean, you can still find out things through word of mouth and links, and you know, obviously I'll be moving soon into the town, so you know, this is one of the reasons I need to make this move, because I don't have that social network, so I moved somewhere new, straight into the countryside. But I think we've become an over-reliance on it. So, you know, people, we need to move kind of back to a state where people communicate things or put posters up in windows. I mean, it does happen. It does happen to an extent. But people are too kind of, let's put everything on Facebook because it's the fountain of all knowledge, which a lot of people do think it is, which like I just said, it's a dangerous concept to rely on one thing for anything. You know, it's, I'm trying to think of an example I use, because, you know, I mean, well, like, my information, you know, if I do flick through the headlines, as I said, but, you know, I watch the alternative media, and, you know, I watch 3 or 4 different people. Let's say, about my information on cryptocurrencies, there's probably a good core 5 or 6 people I listen to make any information, and then I use my own perception as well. So, you know, this being on Facebook and relying on that would just be like listening to one person and taking their word as gospel, not even considering other people, which is kind of, it just seems bonkers to actually go down that route. So I'm aware of kind of I jibbed a lot in this one, but just to sort of conclude, I do, social media is a very powerful and dangerous concept. I'll push the boat out. It is dangerous because people don't realise how much it controls them. And once it sucks you in, and you know, you're walking around listening to it, you got it on your phone, you're continuously there. And yeah, this is not even going into the algorithms of, you know, why you're doing and following what you're doing, and why are you doing it, who you're communicating with, you know. And there's actually, I mean, when I was on Facebook, I imagine it's probably worse now, but I was in a relationship, and if you should try it, if you're down as in a relationship on Facebook, if you search both of your names together, there's actually a Facebook page for the both of you where they put your mutual friends, your photos of you together. You know, so it's, there's all these social, and I imagine they probably do it for all sorts of reasons, not just if you're in a relationship. So if you just think they're accumulating that sort of data, couples, you know, if maybe there's somebody who is a bit dodgy, or, you know, they want to watch, you know, they could easily accumulate a profile of you and them because you've linked stuff, take photos of linking you together, and, you know, it's a very, very clever way of building a profile of people. And you may not have anything to hide, but, you know, it's not about that, is it? You know, this is a common argument that they use. You know, the average Joe uses, you know, you've got nothing to hide, but it's not about trying to hide it. It's about a manipulation of the truth and circumstantial. And it's about the freedom, you know. We don't have free, or you know, no one has freedom, but being on Facebook, it is, you're giving your freedom away. And there's anything you put on there is owned by them. And, you know, I just don't like the idea of them having the... I mean, there was a story also another story I read where a woman, she saw photos of, their child and an advert. And she couldn't work out how it happened. And because Facebook, you put your photo on there, they own that photo. And they'd obviously sold it. So not only are they manipulating your mind and kind of creating anxiety and creating problems in your psyche and, you know, causing you to go on the computer and, you know, damaging your eyes and messing up your body's natural sequence and balance, you know, they're taking stuff that belongs to you and your private information and making money off you too. And it's something that people need to wake up to. You know, people see it as a harmless kind of sharing of talking to people or something, but it's so much more than that. I think people are realising now, but they're addicted to it. You know, and you can't. It's probably the biggest addiction known to humanity. It's probably worse effect than a lot of recreational drugs, I'd say. You know, I'm going to push a boat out and say that. Because there's probably a lot more people addicted to social media than there are drugs. I mean, I know there's some, you know, hideous problems with the drug addiction. You know, I'm not playing that down at all. In terms of numbers of people it affects, I think social media is right up there. And it's an unaware problem. You know, it's kind of looked over. And like I say, more and more people are coming off it and, you know, feeling the benefits, and we've really got to praise these people and, you know, make this change and support people in doing that change. And this is why I won't join Minds. You know, it's, to me, it's not just a decentralization of it. It's the kind of, and I'm sure some people out there, I'm sure you use it sparingly, but I think with me having an addictive personality, I find I spent too much time on it. And I, you know, I feel not being on it and not reading people's posts, you know, I'm kind of, yeah, you know, I'm letting them, no, I suppose letting them down and not, you know, feeling I'm not going to, and I'm aware of these feelings. And I think more so in the winter months, it's been like that because, you know, obviously you don't get out as much. But, you know, I could be reading my book or playing the drum, or, you know, looking after this little cat here that's a terror. But there's always plenty you can be doing. You know, so much you can do other than sit in front of a computer screen. And it's so beneficial to our internal self and our spirituality to connect to what's going on around us and know ourselves. Because, you know, if you're sat there making up this fake kind of world for yourself, and people do it on social media, you know, no one's 100% truthful on it, because you're not going to say, oh, I think that's a load of rubbish. You know, I think that's bad. Because you're going to get an onslaught of people saying, oh, who are you? And we all do it. We're all guilty of it. But if we're sitting there learning and understanding more about ourselves, you know, we can build our confidence to say that. And we realise that, you know, we don't need all this pampering and telling us we're brilliant. Because if you're not exposed to it constantly, it's not important. You know, it's not important what other people think of you. This is what social media kind of grabs onto, that, you know, it's the importance of what other people think and make us who we are. And to be honest, the true way to be is, you know, who cares what anyone thinks about you? You're yourself. If you're true to yourself, you'll attract people and situations with those values and that way of thinking. And the people who criticize your way of thinking, they'll go. They're not important. And social media builds on this kind of state that, you know, we're just fakely kind of, you know, putting out there that we're this and we're that when we're not. And that damages ourselves and breaks our confidence and stops our spiritual growth, stops any development, basically kills off part of ourself. And if you're not true to yourself, then you kind of, you become up. You're not, your body doesn't flow, and then it affects your happiness. You're not happy, people get depressed, they feel unworthy, then you have to go out and buy more stuff to make yourself feel better, and then you buy that, and because it's displayed on Facebook and it's advertised on Facebook, and then you buy that, it doesn't make you happy, so you have to get the next one and the next one, and then you become broke, and then you can't keep up with it, and then, you know, you're not in with the group, and then the depression gets worse. This is an all too common cycle. You see it all the time. And I mean, not being on Facebook, I mean, 7 years ago, people thought you were bonkers. Like, oh, you're not on Facebook. People still do. I mean, I was in a bar a few months ago talking to this lass, and she asked me what the thing was on my profile was on Facebook, and I said, oh, I'm not on Facebook. And she actually thought I was a weirdo because I wasn't on Facebook, and she was like, well, how can I check you? And, you know, that was like, whoa, what kind of society are we living in? I mean, that people, if you're not on Facebook, you're not a real person and you can't be checked. I mean, just stop and think about that for a minute. You know, it's absolutely bizarre. So yeah, it's quite a rant, that. But yeah, I mean, a lot of people probably, well, I hope a lot of people on Steamy are on Facebook, but if you are, get off it. Make that step. You'll feel so much better, and it's so much more beneficial. And Facebook doesn't give you any benefits. You may feel it does, but it's destroying your social connections. It's making you feel inadequate. It's affecting your mental state. It's affecting your body's natural balance. It's affecting your flow, and it's affecting your connection with energy, and it's affecting your nature. There is nothing good about Facebook. Yeah, people say it's good for promotion, but it's censored. And people aren't going to get the true story of what you're promoting on there. And you're only feeding in, even if it does promote, but you're only feeding in to their game and their control. Yeah, anybody on there, I suggest you get off now. And enjoy life. Don't be sucked into the screen and controlled by a screen. Be who you are. And if you're true to yourself, and like I say, if you treat yourself and live the way for your way you think and stand true to yourself, you'll feel much better, and you won't need that reassurance that you're doing the right thing and your likes. So that's my opinions on it, really. And I just lastly, you know, I am going to try and cut off my interaction with Steam so much. I love it, it's great, and there's some amazing content out there. But like I say, I'm just doing it every day at the minute, which I can't do for the reasons I just pointed out. And I will be watching more video and kind of listening to the posts rather than reading them. Yeah, and I on Steam Peak, it does allow you to kind of select people you want to follow regularly. So I will be doing that. And, you know, people that comment, you know, I'll kind of read their stuff. But I think just endlessly going through my feed, it's just not beneficial to me. And there's some great people out there who I might miss. But, you know, if something else supposed to read comes along and it grabs my attention, then I'll look at it. But for me, with my addictive personality, filtering through it constantly, I'm just constantly reading and wasting hours when I could be benefiting myself and the world around me. So apologies in advance if I don't read your posts. It's just, they're not, the universe doesn't want me to see them at that point. And if I'm supposed to read them, they'll jump out at me. And it'll become apparent I'm supposed to read them. So keep posting, get off Facebook and let's have more social interaction. And that's the thing I like about Steam is the meetups, although there hasn't been one in the north of England yet. So I know there's quite a few of us now in the north of England. So we need to arrange a meetup for Northern. I think there's one in Wales. I can make it to that one, a bit too far, but we need to. I think Manchester's probably the biggest hub in the north for people to meet. So let's get on it and make some real social interactions face to face when we can actually truly interact and, you know, exchange that energy and really, really begin to make a change in this world. So that's about it, folks. Next time, eh?